in the praise book. Page 56 in the praise book.
I tell people, all I can do is give you a few crumbs, you know.
Well, it is crummy.
Yeah, it is crummy, that's right. So I'm guessing Jessica must have heard a rumor we weren't going to use the hymn book tonight.
No, they just pulled in.
Oh, okay. Well, she's in for a good surprise.
Well, you got to wait till she gets in. This is her. Oh, no, this isn't her favorite.
We'll sing her favorite at the end, but don't tell her.
I won't. Nobody tell her.
56 is the first one. Oh, wait a minute. Probably not. That one and this one. All right. Good stuff. In the praise book. 56. Glory to God in Jesus' name.
I thought that was a big deal when I got that.
That's good.
Go ahead, we'll sing and we'll share an amen.
God of creation, Father of life, ruler of nature, creator of time.
Study tonight, Joel 2, and it's titled Joel Summarizes the Great Tribulation, and that's what this song is all about. It's a song about those who weren't ready when the rapture happened. Larry Norman wrote it. He's with the Lord now. I wish we'd all been ready. saved, and the trumpet blast, and the shouts of the archangel. We're gone, and you're still here. You are in trouble. 31 is the last one to sing today. Get up there. Good old hymn. Farther along. Good to be saved tonight.
It is good to be saved.
Right.
Amen.
We've got the live stream on. The cameras are neat zoomed in. Now you're not here, so I'll give you a second. did the sound check already. You know the title of this song is, don't you? You hear that? The title of this song. We're gonna fly now. I'm waiting for Jenny Obo to make a parody out of that.
Christian song.
Oh, wait a minute. Johnny's here.
I already did his job.
Oh. We should have finished playing rock songs. Here's
Johnny. Woo, Johnny!
Woo! I don't know that.
Oh, come on.
I'd be excommunicated from some churches just for playing that. So.
Not this one. We actually like fun.
Yeah.
Joel 2. You got your Bibles. I'm getting mine open. I've shown a few of you how big the I can make the font on this thing. It made a few people covet.
Uh-oh.
But it doesn't work all the time real well, so that's why I have my backup. But can you see that in the back?
Looks like Chinese from here.
Well, and maybe we can invest in one for you. But it's worked most of the time. But I still keep my hard copy handy. And Jill can show you a Bible that she just got with 17-point font.
Ooh.
And open that up and they can see the size of the font there.
Oh, she can't see that. She's got a problem.
Well, we do. We do have problems. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, there's some decorations up that you may not have noticed before. And they're green, if you're colorblind. And they actually show them that. Move the camera a little bit there, Jenny and Johnny. Show the folks out in TV land what we're talking about. And they actually have lights. So Christmas time comes around, they're going to be lit up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you ain't seen nothing yet. We got big plans. I was just talking to Jenny about putting the disco.
That's my brother, here. Johnny. Well, just in case.
Now that's getting a little too
exciting. No. We might need it. So we can call it a strip.
Halo ball.
Oh, the churches are up there.
We are going to get some blinds.
With Trump.
And the main reason for the blinds is because there's a bunch of blinds people in here.
That's right, we are.
And especially on Sundays when it's bright, the sun coming through makes everybody look like Smurfs. And it makes it hard to read. And so we also are going to put, we're going to try a little brighter light bulb. But I was telling Jim and a few others a little bit ago, they're still going to be warm white. They're not going to turn everything into like a big, you know. Right after we got married, I bought these LEDs and they were worse than what I was telling you. It made everything look blue.
Like you were in
interrogation. Yeah, it's terrible. But I'm the type that I'm like, I'm committed. I bought them. We're going to use them. And after about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, I'm like, I can't stand this. This is going to be crazy.
It was my first test.
Yeah, she passed. She didn't leave me. So anyway, we're in Joel 2 after the, and I'm going to ask you to save the comments to the end of the update.
Or else we'll be here all night.
Yes. The big lie. Have you heard of that? The big lie. Repeated over and over by Satan's Democrat, liberal, communist, and rhinos. course, there's a bunch of big lies, actually, that have been repeated, and most people on the street will tell you they believe those lies. Mm-hmm. One of them is Donald Trump made fun of a cripple guy because he did this. When the truth of the matter is, he did the same thing making fun of Ted Cruz. He did the same thing making fun of a general. And he did that about this reporter. And this reporter does have an arm that's kind of shriveled up like that. But he doesn't do this. So it's a big lie. Talk to people in the street. They watch the lying news media. ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and yes, even Fox News. Now, I always have to say this. There are a few people on Fox News we like. But the news department, gone. Then you have the locals. Don't think you're getting any better from your local news. 4, 6, 10, 28, read the same script being sent all over the country. And it's a bunch of lies. And right now, the mass majority of people in this country believe that there was a breach of the Capitol building on January 6th. And that Trump supporters were trying to insurrect and overthrow the government. The hogwash lie. Mm-hmm. We showed Sunday the video. Capital City Police opened the doors and invited them in. That's not a breach.
Right.
A handful of people were destructive, most of which I believe were Antifa or BLM. Amen. But if you think that is... Listen, folks. 70 million gun-owning Trump supporters. If we'd wanted a insurrection... It'd be lights out right now across the entire country right now.
Amen.
That is a joke. That was a picnic. It wasn't an insurrection.
Right.
And anybody saying otherwise is full of baloney. Huh? That's trying to overthrow the government. And it was a few people that broke some things.
Like a window and a door?
Yeah. Somebody try it out.
Right, it's possible. What we saw today.
This is the big lie. I want you to listen. This is what's being told over and over. And I just picked this guy because most people are so stupid today that they get their news from late night comics. And here's one of them.
Right, it's possible. What we saw today was a violent insurgency, an attempt to overthrow the legitimately elected government of the United States. And it was incited, directed, and encouraged by the president, Donald Trump.
It's a big, bad lie. And what I do is I show you, save to the end, I don't know if you heard me say that. What they do is lie and lie and lie, and then the people out there, generally speaking, believe it.
Yeah, they lie long enough.
And the sad thing is most of those people... are tech savvy enough that they could go on the internet and do their own research and see that it's a lie. There are some, we have a few here, don't use the internet. But you're also not stupid enough to turn on the local news and think you're getting the news.
Amen.
But most of the people who are tuning into the local and national news think they're getting the news and they make no effort to check it out. Listen, Acts 17:11 says that the noble Christian listens to preachers, including the Apostle Paul, and then search the scriptures daily to see if what they're being told is so.
Amen.
That's the attitude of the noble Christian. Anyone who's noble, test what you're told.
Preach.
And people don't do it. President Trump did not call for violence. He specifically, plainly, clearly called for peaceful protest.
Republicans are constantly fighting like a boxer with his hands tied behind his back. It's like a boxer. And we want to be so nice. We want to be so respectful of everybody, including bad people. And we're going to have to fight much harder. And Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us. And if he doesn't, that will be a sad day for our country. Because you're sworn to uphold our Constitution. Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy.
Now listen.
And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down, anyone you want, but I think right here we're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. Lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country. Our country.
I played it. It's a couple minutes. I played that because I didn't want anybody to accuse me of taking a slice of a 10-second soundbite. Yeah. It's clear that he's telling people to be peaceful. And the liars on your news media are telling you he incited the violence. They're liars. They're full of the devil. And we have been showing people for about 10 years. For about 10 years, we've been showing people lie after lie after lie from the news media.
Amen.
And there are a lot of people who are ignorant of it because they go listen to somebody who's not going to tell them these things on purpose. And that's what's going on in this country. Gathering teachers having itching ears. Few Republicans have this woman's courage.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to quote the President of the United States. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Go home with peace, with love, and in peace. Remember this day forever. President Donald Trump, I condemn this violence. Republicans have condemned this violence. President Trump has condemned this violence. But elected Democrats over the past year have promoted violence, have supported it. They fund it on their Act Blue fundraising platform, and there has been billions of damage caused over this past year of riots all over this country. You know how many companies have endured violence and destruction? I have 83 pages here of businesses that had property damage, were burned, and through the Minnesota riots. Our president, our vice president-elect, Kamala Harris, posted the Minnesota Freedom Fund bail link encouraging people to donate money to bail criminals out of jail.
The gentleman's time has expired.
I yield back.
That's the truth right there. The Democrat Party is violent. They have supported the violence for the entire year, and they have encouraged their voters to help bail out the criminals. And now your news media totally ignores that.
Right.
And then tells you the problem is Trump supporters because about a dozen broke some things at the Capitol and they're trying to convince you that was an insurrection. I'll tell you again, if there was an insurrection ever mounted by Trump supporters, there'd be outer, utter darkness throughout the land of the United States for weeks, months, or even years.
Amen. It should be.
Liberals are lying hypocrites.
Yes, they are.
And for years I've been criticized. I shouldn't use, you know, pick on the liberals. It's not liberal versus conservative. Yes, it is.
Yes. Amen.
And it always has been. Because being a liberal means you don't believe God's word. You don't believe in absolute truth.
Right.
You don't believe in the Constitution. You want the Constitution to be a living, breathing document so you can pervert it and use it to kill babies and to have sodomites married and all the other wicked things of the Democrat Party agenda.
Yeah.
It's just plain truth, and Christians have chosen for too long to be ignorant, willfully ignorant.
Amen.
A conservative, by definition, means you stand for the Constitution politically. A conservative, by definition, in Christianity, means you believe the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the true Savior of the world. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the Savior of the world. There is no other, etc. By definition, a liberal will never be saved unless they repent of being a liberal. And I am sick of the so-called preachers in this country who will not tell their people the truth. And I don't care who that preacher is, if you know a preacher who isn't telling his people the facts on these matters, you're looking at a wolf in sheep's clothing. And that's what most churches have today.
That's fair. I would also, and this maybe isn't the most important part of this, but it is jarring if you look at this from a perspective of the reaction from as to these events over the past year. When BLM is torching cities and doing all these things, almost every mainstream media personality is on the air saying it's either a version of it's justified, or we can completely understand their anger,
well,
or you can't blame them.
May I just play the montage of what happened over the summer with the media?
I want to be clear in how I characterize it. This is mostly a protest. It is not generally speaking unruly.
That ain't a riot, what we're seeing right now in Minneapolis. They are strictly principled anti-fascists, and they've taken a principled stand to stand against white supremacists and white nationalists wherever they may show up.
I argue to you tonight, all punches are not equal morally.
It says it right in the name, Antifa, anti-fascism, which is what they were there fighting. Listen, there's, you know, no organization is perfect. There was some violence.
Any reasonable person would say we shouldn't be destroying other people's property, but these are not reasonable times.
Well, thank goodness for the looters, man.
And please, show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful.
I don't care that much about statues.
Respectfully, should that be done by a commission or the city council, not a mob in the middle of the night throwing it into the harbor?
People do what they do.
You're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations that have been burning in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Do not get it twisted and think that, oh, this is something that has never happened before, and then this is so terrible, and where are we, and these savages, and all of that. This is how this country was started.
People get mad, and people get sick of it. People are risking COVID to explain to this country that we're fed up.
Most of the major movements in American history have started at the grassroots level and at some point have turned into direct conflict with American government. So remember your history before you judge your present.
Thuggishness is thuggishness wherever it comes from politically, and we should be the first to call it out.
I disagree.
That is absolutely breathtaking.
Breathtaking.
I purposely played their three or four versions of that. I wanted you to see that an unsaved Mormon has more guts than most of your evangelical preachers today.
Glenn!
Yep. And what?
Him too.
What? Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck.
That was the beard and mustache?
Yeah, that was the white hair.
The whole point of that was to show you that your news media is a complete propaganda machine. Not there to tell you the truth. And I hope it's sinking in that the reason I've been preaching this about a third of our current events updates over the years is because if you can't see it now, this is going to result in our constitutional republic being overthrown.
Yep.
And it will not end until they're locking us up.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that just to scare you, but you should be scared in a human sense.
Yep.
You better be saved, know where you're going.
Amen.
And be ready to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a serious question. Are you willing to suffer? Because it's coming to that. And folks, Christians have been suffering all over the world for 2,000 years, and Americans got the idea some reason we're exempt. I can't find that in the Bible. I keep looking and I don't find it. He's been very gracious and merciful to us. But the Bible makes it clear there comes a time when the gig is up.
Yeah.
Here's some examples of the party of love These are all Democrats. And we're supposed to believe Trump supporters are the dangerous ones. Madonna says, quote, let's blow up the White House. Peter Fonda, quote, lock 10-year-old Barron Trump in a cage with child molesters.
Wow.
Johnny Depp, quote, we need another John Wilkes Booth.
Wow.
Tom Arnold, quote, I fantasize about standing over Donald Trump Jr.'s dead body.
Wow.
Joe Beijing Biden, quote, I'd like to take Trump behind a barn to beat him, end quote. Cory Booker, I dream of punching Trump in the face. I think Donald Trump might dream you try. I'm not a betting man, but I'd put some money on that one, Donald Trump. Loretta Lynch, quote, who says protests have to be peaceful? Actually, our Constitution does.
Amen.
Here's Maxine to ice the cake.
Already, you have members of your cabinet that are being booed out of restaurants. Who have protesters taking up at their house. Who's saying no peace, no sleep. No peace, no sleep. And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Wow.
She's telling you to harass and intimidate and stalk Trump's people. Liberals have the heart of Lucifer.
Yep.
John 8:44, Jesus says, liars are of their father the devil.
Amen. Right.
So the floor is now open if you have a question or comment. Johnny, you had your hand up?
Yeah, I just came up with something that we ought to do that would make some of those reports more fun and easier to see. So have them say they're live, and then like have the, as they're saying it, show the what actually happened. It's like when he says, you know, oh, this is,
you do that and bring it on a flash drive. Yeah. Anybody else?
That would be perfect.
Anybody else? Yes, Mayor.
When did Maxine Waters say that?
That was actually within the first year or two of the Trump administration.
Okay.
Yeah, this has been going on for 4 years.
Yeah.
And I'll say this again, I know some of you heard this several times, but I originally was not a Trump supporter. I was a Rand Paul supporter. But I found myself constantly trying to straighten out all the lies about Donald Trump. And I would say, listen, people, whether you like Trump or not, you shouldn't be lying.
Yeah.
And I would show that the things he was saying were being totally misrepresented. Well, then Rand Paul dropped out and endorsed Trump, and that's when I got on the train. Yes.
It makes you wonder if these people won the election, why are they purging everyone from the social media platform, shutting them down?
Methinks thou dost protest too much. They're covering it up.
Somebody lost their insurance with AIG because they tweeted out something.
There are people losing
jobs and
coaches have been fired.
But you have to remember, they don't hate just Trump. They hate all Trump.
Yes.
Well, they hate righteousness, and he's done pretty much everything the right way.
But again, that's why over and over through the years we told you, watch your liberal friends, relatives, coworkers. They will turn you in.
Yeah.
Now, you got some Democrat relatives who are clueless. And they're not really convicted about anything. I just Democrat for the working man. You know, that kind of stupidity. They're not as dangerous, but the real believers, the people who are really into this stuff, you need to know and you need to be wise in dealing with them. John?
Yeah. As far as what that lady said, over the last 4 years over different radio stations that I've listened to, there's like a Cheesecake Factory down in Florida where they're wearing as far as the MAGA hat, and the employees actually came out and intimidated them, putting their fist on. There was a Starbucks coffee where the same thing happened. There was a family in a park in as far as Southern California.
Oh yeah.
That thing got beat up.
Yeah. There was a black guy that was in the trucker area, and they refused to serve him because of wearing the hat.
Yeah, there's videos all over the place. There's examples of it. You can probably hear stories from people you know. So what do? You know, we're just getting a little taste of what it's like to be a real Christian.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to be ready to, you know, put up with it, deal with it. Jenny and I have talked about what we'd do, plan ahead.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with being fearful and, oh, I don't know what to do. No, you're just wise. You just look at your situation. What if you lost your job? What would you do? If you're in a school or whatever the case may be, you have to look at it. There is still some legal recourse. People still do win sometimes in the courts and get their jobs back and things like that. But it's not a guarantee because the Constitution is only partially being followed today.
True.
So we'll leave it there. But we must learn to laugh and trust God as we fight. Amen?
Amen.
I love this headline. Trump praised for accepting election results 4 years quicker than Hillary Clinton did. That's just a joke.
So just real quick.
Come on, did she ever accept
them? They did impeach the president again in the House. Of course, you know that.
Yes.
And Tim Rhinos voted with him. But I was thinking, Trump did such a great job that they impeached him twice.
Yeah, that tells you how good a president he was. And
he was so good at draining the swamp. They had twice.
Yeah, that's what this is all about. Donald Trump was too good at his job.
Well, he also has a lot of things on a lot of these people, too.
Well, I'd like to think so, but he's not releasing it.
Well, there's Jim.
I was just going to say, if he's a second Lord like me, he did it better. He got impeached twice.
Yeah.
Everybody.
One last word. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Proverbs 17:22. Take it to the Lord and then continue to have the joy of your salvation and go through life with the Lord. But we're to fight the good fight. Amen. That's in the word. So let's open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for helping us to discern the times. Because of your book, we know what's happening is lining up with the Antichrist agenda. It's no coincidence that everything's lining up exactly the way your word says. And we expect any moment for even bigger things to take place.
Yep.
We're ready spiritually if we're saved. Thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. Amen. And can face these things. And Lord, now we ask your help as we study, your Holy Spirit to be our guide and our teacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, so as I said, we're down to the end of Joel chapter 2. Joel summarizes the Great Tribulation. We're going to read those last, five verses? 28-32? 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. That's 5. And I'll have you read the odd verses with, now I'm going to have you read the even. That doesn't make sense. Read the even. Jump right in with verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
So one of the most abused and misunderstood texts in the Bible, and I'm not going to spend as much time. Remember our last study, we talked about how the former rain and the latter rain is abused by charismatics, and it has nothing to do with the charismatic movement. And then they also come here and claim that this is a prophecy of the gifts, sign gifts and everything in our dispensation, and it's not. So we'll come to that in just a moment. We read there in the beginning of verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward. And what's amazing is when I first I read through Joel, in a Bible reading, And then finally came to a point where I was studying the minor prophets. And just happens to be most Christians don't even study these books.
Yeah.
And then those who study all the books, these are some of the last ones they get to. And that's just the way it works out. And so I was studying this, and it seemed, I was a bit confused as I was reading this, because my Bible didn't have the little pilcros, the little paragraph markings. Does your Bible have those? How many of you have a paragraph marking?
What does it look like?
It looks like a...
I do.
Show Linda what that looks like. Show your neighbor if they don't have one.
Looks like a tomahawk.
Yeah, tomahawk. And not all King James Bibles have them, although they should. And they're just paragraph markings. The verses of the Bible aren't paragraphs.
Yeah.
They're just a delineation of verses. God gave us those, and thank God for them. If you ever, one of the things I always tell everybody when they have somebody pretend to know Hebrew and Greek is give them a Hebrew and Greek text that isn't all separated for them. Let them see how the original actually looked. There are no markings, no punctuation, no chapters, no verses, and there isn't anybody you know who could read that Hebrew or Greek text and actually tell you what it says and means.
Yep.
Nobody knows Greek and Hebrew today.
Amen.
Just
Amen.
Get that through your heads. That's just the reality.
Yep.
And so the pilcros were put there by people who do know Greek well enough to actually speak it and write letters and everything. And it just helps people know when there's a change of thought and that sort of thing. Doug?
Yeah, most people read these last because they think it's...
You're talking about the minor prophets.
Less significant, but it's the size.
The word minor,
yeah,
we talked about that before we studied Hosea. The word minor doesn't mean they're not important.
Right, exactly.
It just means they're small.
Exactly.
The minor-sized prophets.
Right.
So, as I said, I was reading through Joel for the first time trying to understand it, and it wouldn't be obvious to me, reading this, that we're when it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward," that it's talking about the Great Tribulation period. Actually, the flow of chapter 2, it almost made me think it was talking about after the tribulation period. Because up above it, it's even talking about the millennium. So what we all have to realize is sometimes the Holy Spirit answers our questions for us. And that's what we're going to see in this. I read commentaries. And the commentaries were all blatantly trying to say that this was this or that, and a lot of them try to say it was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. And it wasn't.
Amen.
And so I found that this, "And it shall come to pass afterward," refers to the last days. Now, again, not obvious in the text, but I had a little help. This isn't my opinion. It's not even debatable. Why? Comparing Scripture with Scripture, we're told.
Amen.
So you look, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward." Now look at Acts 2 and verse 17. I'm sorry. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17. Peter is speaking. Verse 14 says he lifted up his voice, etc. And verse 17, if you're there, read it with me. "And it shall come to pass in the last days." Now stop. Where afterward is in our Old Testament Joel, the words "the last days." Now, if you remember what we read in verse 28, now as we finish verse 17, you'll see it's the same verse.
Yeah.
Joel 2:28 is being quoted here in Acts 2:17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days," pick up there with me, "saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Just stop there. Now go back to verse 28. And you'll see it's the same thing, only, "And it shall come to pass," instead of "the last days," it says "afterward." Telling you what "afterward" means. You can't get much better than that when it comes to, for example, "a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." And you're like, well, what's that mean? The Holy Spirit tells you, that's in Isaiah. Go to Matthew, and the Holy Spirit defines it for you and says, God with us. So we don't have to guess about it when the Bible is written by men who, under the Holy Spirit's guidance, write the inspired words of God from the word inspiration.
Amen.
Theonoustos, everybody likes it. It just means God breathed. Air, pneuma, spirit. That's the Holy Spirit breathes His own words through men using their language, their vocabulary, their experiences, their personality, gave us what He wanted us to have. That's what the given by inspiration in 2 Timothy 3:16 means. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. The Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit a lot of times gives us something in the Old Testament and we're having trouble figuring out what it is. And then He gives us the answer. And that kind of really clearly sets out that saying that what is in the old concealed is in the new revealed. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Amen.
Now, when you read that back in Acts, go back to Acts 2, where we were looking at that. In verse 16, Acts 2:16, he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he's not saying this is Joel's prophecy being fulfilled. That's not what he says. And basically what he's saying is this, which you're seeing today on this day of Pentecost, he doesn't say it fulfills Joel's prophecy. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In other words, it's just like that which Joel spoke about. It's just a comparison given in the when a terrorist blows up a building, you say, man, that's just like 9/11. Right?
Uh-huh.
But it's not 9/11.
Right.
See? You're just making that comparison. And that's what Peter is doing in Acts 2. Why do we know that? Well, because as we continue to read, going back to Joel 2:28, it says, and I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That didn't happen on Pentecost.
Amen.
It wasn't poured out on all flesh. And at no point in the book of Acts is it poured out on all flesh. Hasn't happened yet. Now, it continues and says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And on the scale that this is talking about, it hasn't happened yet.
Amen.
It will be fulfilled during Daniel's 70th week. Now, some of the Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh, and some will still reject it. Blaspheming God, refusing to repent, even as they're gnawing their tongues in pain with boils and sores, and they're still not going to repent. Isn't that something?
Yep.
Look at Revelation 7:4. I'll show you who I think the immediate example is. Revelation chapter 7, verse 4. It says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the watchtower that society, Jehovah's Witnesses, it says 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of
Israel,
not the church.
Right. Amen.
These aren't Christians. These are Jews in Israel, and they are believers at this point of Jesus Christ. But there's no new birth. They're not. They don't become members of the body of Christ. There's no reference to them being in any church. They're still Jews who are believers in Christ.
Right.
And we are sealed unto the day of redemption, but it's a Holy Spirit seal. He comes in to dwell in us and so forth. This is a seal, it says, and they were sealed in 144,000. And I believe that there's going to be a visible seal. I believe it's going to be something not only as a, it does have a spiritual connection to it, but I believe it'll be a physical seal to it. Now look at verses 9 and 10. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Now, I believe these 144,000 are basically evangelists. And it's that in verse 9, this multitude's more than 144,000. These are the converts.
Yep.
These are the people who will believe as a result of the ministry of the 144,000. And there's other, we've studied verse by verse through Revelation. There's other passages that go hand in hand with that. But I believe you're going to have 144,000 Apostle Pauls.
Yep.
And they're going to be running around the world. Now, I did the math when we did the Revelation studies. But if you say there's 7 billion people at this point, you know, the rapture's happened, a lot of people have died or whatever. Let's say, just to be conservative, there's 7 billion people on the planet. Then how many would each one of these have to witness to for the whole world to hear the gospel that's preached during the tribulation period?
Wow.
And you can do the math, and it's doable. Very doable. The reason I say that is because while they're out preaching the gospel and all this is going on, all these other things are taking place, and you're going to have the internet and TV satellites and everything are going to come crashing down. You're not going to have the communications abilities. You might not even have radio. So what do you got? You got 144,000 radios going around for 3.5 years or so preaching the gospel all over the world. So each person would have to preach to 48,000 people in 3.5 years if they do street ministry and go to places where there are crowds. They'll get it done.
Yeah.
And they might, you know, they might still have some TV and radio, and these guys will jump on there and preach the gospel over the radios and TVs or whatever. So back to our text, it says in verse 29, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Even believers of the lowest classes in society, they're not just going to be saved. It's not talking about being saved here. Anyone can be saved. You don't have to have a certain amount of money or anything like that. You can be saved. But these are people who are going to display the signs. Look at verses 30 and 31. These people, including the lowest classes of society. Read 30 and 31 with me. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. That has not happened on any large scale before. That when Jesus was crucified, it's true that the sun was darkened for a period of hours. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about a permanent darkening of the sun that'll last for a long period of time and will only be cured by the return of Jesus Christ. See, why is that? Well, the fulfillment is found in Revelation 8. Go look at Revelation chapter 8 and verses 7 and 8. And this is going to read almost exactly like what we just read in Joel 2. Verse 7 says, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Read verse 8 with me. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. That's exactly what we just read in verses 30 and 31. That the heavens, there'll be wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire that comes with the hail, pillars of smoke, the sun is darkened, the moon turns into blood. And it says that's before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, and that is specifically the part of the day of the Lord when Jesus returns and kills them all.
Yeah.
The Antichrist, the false prophet, and everybody who has that mark dies. All of his enemies, Look over at Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Just to give you, there's 6:12. There's too many examples to run them all, but I just want to run a couple of them. There in Revelation 6:12. Read that. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. There you have it. Joel 2 is fulfilled in the Old Testament. And so fulfilled in the book of Revelation, it's the Old Testament. It's the 70th week of Daniel. So verse 32 then says, and it shall come to pass, now this sounds very familiar, doesn't it? That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be, what?
Delivered.
Yeah, you'll notice, some of you recognize there's a little change there from what we're used to hearing that verse quoted.
Uh-huh.
But it goes on to say, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be, what again, what's the word?
Deliverance.
As the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. You see, this refers to physical, bodily deliverance. This is a dispensational issue. And in the dispensation that Joel is referring to is actually the end of the law. The Mosaic law is a dispensation on hold. There's still 7 years left. When Daniel gave his 70 weeks prophecy, he said after the 69th week, Messiah is cut off. And then the 70th week starts when the Antichrist appears and confirms the covenant with many, which will allow Israel to reinstitute the sacrifices in their land, and that hasn't happened yet.
Amen.
So, from a Old Testament perspective, you've got this big space between the 69th and 70th week. Now, you take all that out, it's right there, 69, 70 week. And yes, it could have just been a short little amount of time, and God could have just saved a handful of people. But in His mercy and long-suffering, He has allowed for 2 millennia.
Yep. Amen.
How many hundreds of millions into the billions of people have been saved? We don't know, but we're going to find out.
That'd be cool.
And that's, you ask, and I do the same thing. Lord, how long, as the psalmist says. I'm ready to go home, are you?
Amen.
God's got His reasons, and in here, all these people, including you and me, being saved.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But, at some point, the time will come.
And the last one will be saved.
That last one's going to be saved, and we're going up. Mm-hmm. And when we go up, then at some point after that, it may be weeks, months, even years. We don't know exactly. I expect it probably months. That's my Gregology. But at some point then, after the rapture, I believe the final pope, Revelation 17:18, listen to our studies there. The final pope will be used to bring the world together as one. He's already tried it over and over, and he'll finally succeed temporarily. And that world unity will enable him, and I think all the other things going on are going to enable him to take total control, which you already see men are trying to do. They want to control your every move, force you into vaccinations, make you do this and do that, only think what they want you to think, only say what they want you to say. It's all being set up where once we're the troublemakers, we're the problem.
Yep.
We're removed, and it could really get wild. We talked about it our Friday night movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were all taken away by aliens. The sperm, what do they call it? There's
what?
A word for it.
Spermatozoa?
There's a, no.
No, different one. Okay.
I remember that one.
About aliens planting the seed on the earth.
Oh.
I don't know what it is.
Spermatozoa, something like that. I'll think of it tonight when I'm getting ready to go to sleep. But they're going to say, oh, there were aliens who came here and seeded life on the earth. And they saw we were about to destroy the planet. And they took the bad people away. That's us.
Uh-huh. Oh.
You know? And so now we're going to have world peace.
Huh.
And the Pope will be standing up there. And one of these, Hillsong or Bethel type of Christians will jump there with him. And they'll sing, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. You know, all those songs, you know. Imagine there's heaven, you know, all those songs. There's an Antichrist hymn book already ready to be used. And they're going to have their praise and worship, and they're going to have their and peace and safety, peace and safety, and then sudden destruction. That's what's going on. So it says here, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And you have to remember, this is the 70th week, I already said, and ends with the return of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's a dispensational truth. You call on the name of the Lord in this dispensation now where we're at, and you have a new birth.
Amen.
You don't get a physical deliverance unless you're here for the rapture.
Amen.
There is the exception that proves the rule. And there is going to be a generation who is physically raptured. But other than those, everybody who's ever lived is what? Died. Their bodies are buried or burned up or in an ocean somewhere or something. And that body has to be resurrected. You didn't get a promise of physical rescue or deliverance, but that's what happens when it comes to the Jews. Now let's look at that real quick. Romans 10:9-13. Romans 10:9, very familiar. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now that's in previous study in Joel. We talked about that. But look, it says now in verse 12, in this dispensation it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's not true when Joel is talking. That's not going to be true in the 70th week. There's no body unified by the new birth or anything like that in Old Testament dispensation. But in this dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God, you can be Jew, white, black, Asian, Native American, help me out, all the other races. You can be any of them, but once you're saved, there's neither Jew nor Greek.
Amen.
One in Christ.
One in Christ. And it says now in verse 13, in this dispensation, read it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not delivered.
There's a difference.
Not delivered. Now you will receive deliverance at some point. But your promise is to call upon the name of the Lord and to be born again. To receive the Spirit of God, to be baptized into the body. You are now sealed under the day of redemption. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're in the hand of the Father, and no man can pluck him from his hand.
Amen.
All those promises belong to you in this dispensation. But if you're a Jew before Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again, or you're a Jew left behind after the rapture, you call upon the name of the Lord to be delivered. You see, the problem is most Jews aren't calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And there's a small number of sincere believers in Jehovah, Yahweh, but they reject Jesus, Orthodox. But as we read through the scripture, Revelation 12, for example, we see that a third will not die, and they will call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Some believe there's grounds, good grounds for this, to believe that when justice, they think they're going to be destroyed, they start calling out for Jesus.
Wow.
And there he is.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
And he's going to land on the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, let's go home.
Amen.
Out of Petra. And they're going to run and ride the camels and motorbikes and everything they can get their hands on. And they're all going to go back to Israel and they're going to see it's him whom we pierced.
Yeah.
They're not going to recognize him because he looks like Eddie Rabbit. They're going to recognize him because he has his scars. And he's standing right where they know the Messiah. Even rejecting Jesus, they know when the Messiah does come, he's landing on the Mount of Olives. They know that.
Down through the Eastern Gate.
And that Eastern Gate that's been walled up by the Muslims to keep the Messiah out. How dumb is that? He'll
look
go.
Cute.
So dispensational truth, you call on the name of the Lord in the 70th week, especially, and receive interest into the kingdom. Look over Matthew 25. See, when these people call upon the name of the Lord, they will go into the kingdom. And then anyone who's not a Jew who calls on the name of the Lord, they will be judged and led into the kingdom. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. That's what we've been reading about at the end of the tribulation, at the end of Joel. We're actually going to see the description of the destruction of that's going to take place in Joel 3 in our next study. But here we're seeing that when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. That's right here on earth. Verse 32, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand. So it's good to be a right winger. But the goats on the left. Isn't that funny? Leftists. There, verse 34. Then shall the king. Is that king capitalized in your Bible?
Yes.
That's Jesus. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Where do they go? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And He describes the fact that in their faith, they did what was right. And we don't have time for all that. And I didn't put it up here, I don't think. But I want to jump down. Look what He says then to those on the left hand on verse 41. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And He'll describe how they were self-centered, didn't care about anybody, didn't show that they loved others and all that. That was demonstrating their lack of faith. But listen, when Jesus returns, you've got two choices and neither one of them is heaven. When Jesus returns at the end of the 70th week, you either go to everlasting fire or into His kingdom. Mm-hmm. His throne is telling you right there, it's on earth. He will be in, we'll look at it at some point in Ezekiel, the throne, Ezekiel 40 onward, and the massive temple that's going to be built. And He's going to have His throne right there in the mercy seat, in the Holy of Holies, and so forth.
Amen.
And that'll last 1,000 years, but His reign will never end.
Amen.
And so we have a lot more to cover on that in our future studies. But I want you to take that praise book again and turn to page 50 as the musicians come. So born again believers will enter the kingdom. But that is by following Jesus on white horses. We don't enter the kingdom after the judgment that takes place at the end when He returns. We're with Him when He returns.
Right.
We come with Him on white horses. We are observers of the judgment that takes place. We'll actually, I believe, dismount our horses and be assigned tasks related to the judgment. You know, we may actually go have to take people and pull them up in front of the king so they can be judged. Some of us might even have to take notes of some way or something. I don't know. But there's different jobs, different tasks. It'll be very real when it happens. And we're described in Revelation 19:14, and the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. All right, so if you have your songbook, page 50.
Is it we're playing in C?
Yeah.
You have
I didn't
wait and see those things. You can't play it.
I'll have you stand as we sing. What a day that will be. Amen.
No more tears to dim the eye. Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
What a day.
What a day, glorious day that will be.
Say praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
All right, we'll say goodbye to the folks online. On the count of three, one, two, three, see you here,
there, or in the air.
God bless y'all. Prayer cards up here. And BBF Ohio.